Here we go. Talk on KGNU. I'm your host, Michelle D. Simpson, with news and stories inspired by the NAACP Boulder County and beyond. And so today I'm excited to introduce two guests who are here to talk to us about voting and the importance of voting. And I'm going to start by introducing my guests by name, but then I'm going to have them say a few words about themselves and tell us how they got here, what they do when they're not on the radio. So I'm going to start with Todd Conklin Jr. And then we also have Madeline Woodley. So let's start in reverse order. Madeline, tell us a little something about yourself. What do you do when you're not on the radio?
Oh, well. Well, I'm a retired corporate executive. I'm a retired 30-year executive with FedEx Corporation Worldwide with responsibilities worldwide as a division head. And since then, and being here in Boulder County, and being very, very much active most of my life in volunteerism and civic activities and working with social justice issues, and with the recent events, I am very, very, very busy.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm working with the Housing and Human Services Board as a board member. I live in Longmont, and so I'm with the Longmont Housing and Human Services Board there. Recently, the Longmont Community Foundation, as a new member, the Boulder Police Oversight Task Force, of which I have the honor of working with you, now implementation team, well, actually with you and Todd, one of the highlights of my life, meeting and working with you guys. Other than that, working with choirs and that kind of thing.
And what is your role with the NAACP?
The NAACP, I am a lifetime member, actually, of two branches. I am originally from Tennessee. So the Memphis branch was my first home branch where I served as a board member, but also a lifetime member there. And now, as a member of the executive committee for the Boulder branch in AACP here, and a lifetime member as well.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. Todd, tell us a little something.
Yeah, it's great to be here. My name is Todd Conklin Jr. I'm currently a law student at the University of Mississippi School of Law. I was and still am a member of the Boulder Police Oversight Task Force, and that's how I met you, Michelle, and Madeline. I was an original member of that, as all of us were. We were in the implementation phase of that together and the first phase, and that was an absolute honor and still is to be a member of that. Getting to make a difference in police reform, especially at a time like this, I think has been truly the honor of my lifetime. And I would hope to continue doing things in that realm of life. And so it's great to be here.
No, well, thank you. And Todd, I just wanted to mention to listeners that Todd is a recent graduate of CU Boulder as well. So we wish him well on his new journey at Old Miss in law school. So folks, I'm going to give you a little quiz. Got a question for you, okay? And whoever wins gets a back scratcher. That is always my all-time dollar store gift. I give these types of quizzes all the time. And so whoever wins gets a back scratcher because everybody needs one of those. So here we go. Here's a quote, and you have to tell me who uttered these words. So here we go. We have to grab our comfortable shoes, put on our masks, pack a brown bag dinner, and maybe breakfast too, because we've got to be willing to stand in line all night if we have to. Who said that? I have a feeling I'm keeping my back scratcher.
You might be.
Who said that?
Was it James Baldwin?
Wasn't James Baldwin.
John Lewis?
Not John Lewis. Okay. Michelle Obama said that. She said that on August 17th. It was part of her overall Democratic National Convention speech, where she also said, now it's clicking in. Yeah. She also said, if you think things cannot possibly get worse, trust me, they can and they will if we don't make a change in this election. And in that speech that she gave, she also acknowledged voter suppression tactics. And voter suppression has been around since time immemorial, and most especially in terms of suppressing the votes of Black folks. And she acknowledged, as I said in that speech, some of those tactics and some of the newer ones, such as questioning the validity of the election results, and also repeated attacks on mail-in voting. So one of the reasons why I wanted to have you both here, besides your magnificence, is because there's a generational divide. And I was interested in how you both are approaching this topic of voting and the importance of voting, most especially Black voting and people within our communities getting out and casting their vote. Todd, how long have you been voting?
The first election that I was in which I was eligible to vote was 2016.
Okay. And Madeline, we're just going to take it that you have been voting for a while, for a longer period of time. We'll just leave it at that.
Decades.
Okay. And so, Madeline, let me start with you. In your home growing up, how was voting discussed? If it was discussed, maybe it didn't come up, but how was it discussed?
It absolutely was discussed. My parents stressed the importance of voting. As a matter of fact, in speaking with my 89-year-old brother, he's the eldest of us now, and I asked him what was his first experience. I was voting, and he took me back to the election of 1948-49, President Eisenhower. That was his first time voting. He was just out of high school. And he said he went to the polls. My parents took him to the polls. And my father made the statement to him, this, what you're about to do, is one of the most important acts in life that you will ever make. Mm. So to answer your question, going that far back, and I'm the youngest female of the clan, and so it has been important, a major, major thing. And not to mention, they worked the polls every election.
Okay.
Every election.
Okay. So they were right there.
Absolutely.
So Todd, tell me, what is your voting story? Was voting discussed in your home? Is it something you took on your own? How did that unfold for you?
My parents would always vote in presidential elections. I don't believe that they always voted in congressional midterm elections, but it was kind of in the house in which I grew up, it was always kind of a four-year conversation of my parents would, because I had a Democratic mom and a Republican dad. And so they would kind of discuss who they were going to vote for in the upcoming election. And then they would just go vote. And so I think I never had the experience of having to struggle for voting rights or having to fight for the vote. It was just something that was assumed in my house. And so that was kind of the experience for me, where it was just, you know, when you're of age, you go vote.
Well, let me ask you this. You said the first time you cast your ballot was in 2016. Were you excited?
I was very excited, yes. In being able to do something like that, I think in a democracy, being able to vote is the ultimate source of power, which is, you know, it felt like the fullest expression of being a citizen of America was being able to vote. And so being able to exercise that, I kind of felt like almost that I had fully taken my place is, I think, how I felt at that moment, because, you know, I was able to decide who was going to run society at that point, and that felt very meaningful to me.
Yeah. Well, let me ask the both of you this. If you ran into someone now who told you they weren't planning to vote, how would you respond? Either one of you can go first with this.
How you said would you they were not planning?
They were not planning to vote.
Okay.
And I want to be more specific. So if you ran into a Black person, someone else, Black, who said, I'm not voting. I don't see any reason to vote. I don't see that it's going to make a difference. It hasn't up to now. How would you respond?
Michelle, I actually encounter that often, and particularly with our young Black people. Mm-hmm. And my response is, whether you know it or not, when you don't vote, you vote. By not voting, you are voting. Mm-hmm. What you do is you give your power away. You're relinquishing your voice and your power. And of all times, of all of the times in history that your voice and your power is most important is right now. Mm-hmm. And that's been a conversation that I've had, I'm going to say at least 4 or 5 times a month.
Oh my recently. Gosh. So that often?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
How about you, Todd? How might you address that if it came up, or maybe it has come up?
Mm-hmm. I think I've experienced that a couple of times with people around African Americans around my age who you know, don't vote. I don't think I've ever met an African American that's older than I am that does not vote in my personal life. I think the lived experience that they had in regards to voting is different to where, you know, maybe it's more meaningful to them because they had to struggle for it depending on how old they were. But, you know, I think if someone said that to me, I would just almost be bewildered, because every time you get to vote, that's a chance for you to change your circumstances. And it might not be in a transformative way every time, but you can start, you know, you can put your immediate area or your country on a larger path to success, I think, by repeated voting. And if you're not exercising that, things aren't going to change ultimately.
Yeah. Well, you know, Madeline, you got me thinking as you were talking about your older brother and his experience with voting. And his experience with voting for the first time. I think I probably, you know, have shared with you that both my parents are from Montgomery, Alabama. And so that historical underpinning around Black people and voting is just part of my past, is part of my history. And my grandmother, Mosetta Allen, who was known to many as Aunt Pi, known to some as dear, known to others as my dear.
My dear.
yes, and she attempted to register to vote 9 times. And one of the voter suppression tactics that was used to prevent African Americans from voting in Montgomery during that era, her era, was to have them recite or answer questions from the Constitution. Now, the people who were asking the questions couldn't answer them.
Right.
But they expected, and I shouldn't say expected, because they didn't expect. That was the reason why they had set this up. They expected the Black folks who came to register not to be able to answer the questions, which were obscure. And they couldn't. And so 9 tries. And on the 10th try, they just waved her forward and had her sign her name because they gave up. They were sick of seeing her because she was relentless. She was determined to vote. And so when I think about people who tell me they're not going to vote, my response can be, depending on how well I know them, how dare you? How dare you not vote? You know, I have on my t-shirt today, my favorite t-shirt that reads, "Vote like your ancestors died for it." Because they did. People were lynched, beaten, threatened, homes firebombed, jobs lost. It's like, you don't have the moral authority to tell me you're not going to vote and then provide me a rationale, because I can't hear it. So I admit to being closed when it comes to that particular topic. It's like, I don't want to hear it. You got to come up with something else, because again, just this whole idea that you're just not going to vote, you know, again, as I said, it just doesn't work for me at all. You know, let's talk about some of that. Let's talk about some of that history. So if you had an opportunity, Todd, to come face to face with my grandmother, mm-hmm. with one of your ancestors, with one of these folks who fought hard and long for Black folks to secure the right to vote, because the 15th Amendment didn't do it.
Right.
Okay, the 19th Amendment didn't do it. It wasn't until the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act of 1965 mm-hmm. that guaranteed that right to vote on the parts of Black people. And we are still, we're still fighting for the right to vote, because voter suppression is alive and well in many, many parts of this country. What would you want to say to them? In other words, if you came face to face with some of those grandmothers and grandfathers, some of those ancestors that really fought the hard fight, mm-hmm. what would you want to say to them?
Well, I think first, I would thank them for doing what they did, which enabled us to have all the privileges and the rights that we have today. I think that they would be proud to look and see what we have now as African Americans in what I think what we've done in terms of Black elected officials, progress that has been made.
So hold on there, Todd. We'll come right back. I just want to let listeners know that you have tuned in to Black Talk. Black Talk centers Black voices, Black thought, Black vision. And my name is Michelle Simpson. And our guests on today's show are Madeline Woodley and Todd Conklin Jr. And our topic today is voting, the importance of voting. And Todd was kind of telling us what he might say if he came face to face with some of the ancestors who fought, who died, who suffered for Black people to be able to cast their ballots in this country, and still fighting to fight again against all of these tactics that prevent Black voices and Black empowerment when it comes to casting our ballot. So Todd, I'm sorry I had to interrupt you.
No, that's fine. And I think I would also tell them that the fight goes on. I mean, what you have done for us in terms of getting us the vote in the civil rights movement, we're going to take that and we're going to do everything we can to stop mass incarceration, and we're going to do everything we can to stop police brutality. And I think the acknowledgement that we wouldn't be in this position, I wouldn't be on the police oversight task force without a Civil Rights Act or a Voting Rights Act, or without people who are willing to get beaten down crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge, or, you know, get beaten down trying to get the right to vote. We wouldn't be here without them. And decades and decades from now, you know, I want my grandkids to ask me, what was mass incarceration? I don't want them to know what it is, because I want it to be gone. I don't want them to know what police brutality is, because I want it to be gone. I want my generation to be the last generation. I wanted to, you know, to end that. And so I think that's what I would say to them, that you've gotten us here and we're going to keep carrying the torch forward and do everything we can while we can.
Madeline, same question to you. What would you want to say to those forebears? What would you want to say to those ancestors?
Actually, in addition to all the brilliant responses Todd gave, I thought that was excellent. Would be to first thank them, and then in addition to his comments, I'd also add an apology, because somewhere along the line, I take responsibility for the mentality of some of our young people, not knowing the importance, or not acknowledging it, not taking it into their souls and making it a part of their existence. The importance, understanding that right now with all the voter suppression, the attempts with voter suppression, that should tell you that, and that alone should tell you how valuable your vote is, because somebody's trying to take it. Mm-hmm. Somebody is so seriously trying to keep you from voting. Mm-hmm. So I'd add an apology, and then I'd make a promise, a pledge, that we're going to continue the fight and continue to improve.
So I'm going to ask you a question that may appear to have an obvious answer, but I'm guessing it's not obvious. Maybe 2016 was evidence of that. Why is this 2020 presidential election? So I'm going to sharpen our focus to the presidential. portion of the ballot. Why is the 2020 presidential election, in your opinion, so critical in terms of getting out the vote, Black folks getting out there and voting? What's on the line, if anything?
Michelle, I'd say it's a matter of life or death. That's just how I view it. From my standpoint, it is critical that we get out and that we take responsibility for changing the direction of our country. We need to return the president's presidential office, the president's office, to being presidential. It should contain that person should have morals and values, should have a heart for the people, for all of the people, and take responsibility for the failures. And if there are any successes, that's fine. But right now it's critical that we make a change, because we've seen the evidence is here of what it has been. I don't think we could put, we wouldn't survive another 4 years. Not with the, close to 200,000 people gone as a result of the pandemic, just in the United States alone. So,
okay. What about you, Todd? What do you think about that?
When I think about that, to me, it's ultimately a question of power, in that this election is a chance to regain the power that we would need to protect ourselves. Because things that I would think of would be that, you know, a couple years ago, I believe the name of the Supreme Court case was Shelby County v. Holder, or Holder v. Yeah. Shelby County, where the Supreme Court gutted the Voting Rights Act. They gutted it to the point where it's almost unenforceable in stopping voter discrimination and voter suppression, and that a president appoints those Supreme Court judges. And I need a president who's going to appoint Supreme Court judges that aren't going to do that. I need judges in there who are going to protect the right to vote and expand that. You know, we need the Department of Justice to go into these cities where there's rampant police brutality and take them to a federal court and do everything they can to stop them. Because over the last 4 years, all of that has been walked back. And I think we need these institutions to start working in the interests of African Americans, because I think we've been forgotten and left behind in the last 4 years. And that, especially with just all the videos we've seen now of the death that has kept occurring, you know, we need bodyguards who are, you know, and when I say bodyguards, I'm speaking metaphorically, just we need the system to protect us, because we have been getting left behind. And to me, that's what the election's about, is taking that back.
Well, you know, I want to thank the both of you for joining me today and sharing some of your thoughts regarding voting and the importance of voting. And voting rights, just sharing your voting stories with me. It's been fabulous. And it's nice to, again, bring generations together and get a sense of not only where we are, but perhaps where we're going, where we need to be, kind of mapping, mapping the direction or mapping our next steps. So for today, I'd like to thank KGNU listeners for joining us for Black Talk. I am your host, Michelle D. Simpson, with news and stories inspired by the NAACP Boulder County and beyond. And I hope you tune in again. This show airs on the third Monday of every month at 8:35 a.m. And we'd love to have you join us next time. So with that, Todd, Madeline, I want to once again thank you for joining me. And we'll talk again soon.